Reading to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, beginning at verse 1. Let's hear the Lord's word. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, which when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. You might ask, why do I keep on this theme? Because the Bible alone is our rule of faith. If we give up on the Bible, we throw away all hope of God's blessing. Some have retained the Bible as a shell and given up on its kernel or its contents. Some have put a label of myth or fairy tales, denying the essential truths of the Word of God. Liberals and liberalism have been around for a long time. It has stolen the spiritual life out of our great churches. Around this country, you will find church buildings that were once gospel centers to herald forth the Word of God as the inspired Word and the revelation of God. Now, they are but places of poetry, tea parties, and platforms for immoral agendas. When was the last time that a sermon was given on the Ten Commandments? When was the last time that a preacher stood in our mainline churches and preached the full divinity of Jesus Christ as both the Son of God and God the Son? Fancy music has taken over the old and great hymns of the faith. Choirs entertain the few in the benches, but have lost sight of the majesty and the glory of God. It takes more than human skill. For some are fine talkers. It takes convictions that are rooted in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Hear these words of the Apostle Paul. He says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So, if a preacher is sowing liberalism and uses the seeds as weeds, he is going to get a harvest of unbelief and apostasy. People will depart from the truth. That's what apostasy means. It means for people who know the truth to turn away from it. And that is what has happened in Canada. The pulpit has been turned into a seedbed of heresy, a place of lies and deceit. The truth has been sold out, and the people bring forth a harvest of worldliness, even inside the church, because false thinking and rebellion to the true and living God is fostered. What a terrible harvest it is. But God is not mocked, we are told here in this text. He will have the last word, for judgment will fall upon the heretic in the pulpit, but the people will be left in darkness. It is time to come back to the Bible, to seek and to study it for all its worth. It is time for Canadians to attend churches that believe the Bible and preach it in the fullness of power. Go and ask your preacher, "Do you believe the Bible?" If you have to, it is not already clear, then there is no full commitment to it. If a man cannot say with 100% certainty that the Bible is the divinely inspired revelation of God, he should never be in a pulpit. Send him back to Sunday school, where he needs to learn the truth, as in 2 Corinthians 3:16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That is 2 Timothy 3:16. If your minister cannot say amen to that and preach it, he does not deserve an audience. He is not a minister of light, but of darkness. And you need to find a Bible-believing church where you will grow in knowledge of God's word and where you will hear the voice of God to your soul through the preached word. That's what it means to come back to the Bible. Now today we have our message on New Testament missions. We find the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13 going out with Barnabas seeking to take the gospel to the souls of men. Oh, for a race of missionaries sent by God, blessed by God, where they are preaching the word of God.
Coming to our message here in Acts 13, and we are looking at this marvelous event, this mission of Paul and Barnabas going out from the church at Antioch. And last week we learned of its location, of the importance of that city. It was the gateway to the east and west, and the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were sent forth by the church to go and mission on the island of Cyprus. Now, when they arrived on the east side of the island, but they very quickly made their way across the island until they came to the city of Paphos, which seems to have been a port and a major city on that island of Cyprus, and where the Roman governor was residing and where they came to him. Now, this chief city of the island of Cyprus was also a city given over to Venus worship. And it was a place of open licentiousness, prostitution, much of it in the name of religion. And so it was a very difficult place to begin to minister the gospel. Athanasius styled its religion the deification of lust. And that's very often what false religion falls into. It becomes man's depravity, all dressed up in false religion, only to debase himself more and more. Now, here is the great gospel principle and missionary principle, that our cities are not to be abandoned. Cities are not to be forgotten. And just because they are the center of wickedness, they need the gospel all the more. Someone writing on missionary principles stated, "We abandon our cities at our peril." And that's because as it goes with our cities, it goes with our nations. The cities are the powerhouses of nations. The cities is where education centers are found, and cities are the workhorses of our economies. Cities very often carry the political clout of any nation, and so it is the center where the gospel must go. And while sin abounds and the tendency towards sin grows in major populations, that is all the more the call to go forth to those places with the gospel. When we think of our cities in North America, we think of the great needs for evangelism, the great need for the gospel in inner city centers and amongst the masses that are living lives of ungodliness. They need the Lord so greatly. And if we do not see them evangelized and the salt of the gospel applied, they will only plummet into deeper iniquity and toward evil. But as we read here in Acts 13, you have the conversion of Sergius Paulus. He was the deputy of the island, and, well, he is tremendous hope for the power of the gospel. And we want to come this evening in this passage to hope for gospel missions. Now, I take hope that when God calls, there will be a reception to the gospel. This city of Paphos that was given over to such evil would certainly not be the demographer's choice place to go and do evangelistic work. And the natural thinking would be to stay away from Paphos, stay away from such places of iniquity, and go where there is at least the outward semblance of some morality. But right here is where Paul and Barnabas went with the gospel. And we see how the Lord prepared the heart of Sergius Paulus to receive the gospel. If you look at verse 7, this is Acts 13 and verse 7, "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." Oh, what an opening! What a gift this was to God's men sent forth to take the gospel to this island. He is the chief, a governor of the island. He is the Roman deputy. And he's asking, "I want to hear what you have to say. I want you to preach to me." Well, this was the Lord going before his servants. We're told here that he was a prudent man. And a prudent man normally will not judge something until he discovers what it is. He'll check it out. He'll investigate what it is. And then he'll make his decision. And so these men have come. They're preaching these new things. and he wants to hear. And the Lord moved him to hear the word of God. Now, we can expect such miracles, individual small miracles. Now, does this constitute a miracle? Perhaps not in the most strictest sense, but in God's wonderful working of providence, God preparing men's hearts, God going before the preacher, plowing the soil, tilling the soil, preparing it for the seed of the gospel. Well, it is the work of God in grace in the hearts of sinners. And this is what we must expect and long for, and this for which we must pray for this. Mr. Spurgeon said that when God sends forth a sower, even though that land may be as rock, yet there is always a portion which is plowed before the sower comes. Well, that's good, isn't it? That's heartwarming, and that gives us hope that as we launch out with the message of the gospel to any people, any area, that the Lord will have already done a work in the hearts of those to whom we're seeking to witness. And it could happen in our door-to-door visitation. As we ring that doorbell and the dog barks and you can hear the television on behind the door and you just wonder, how am I ever going to get the message across here? But let the Lord do his work and take your stand, present the gospel, and you might not get much of a conversation the first time at the door, but that may well lead to a phone call, to inquiries. Tell me more. Can I come to your church to hear the gospel? The Lord can do these things. It can also happen in our hospital visitation. And there have been happy times when I've gone into hospital wards to minister to one of our own congregation or someone who invited me to visit them in hospital. So I was really going in to talk to that one person. But across the curtain, on the other side of the ward, someone listening in, and have an opportunity to speak to them, and the Lord opens up a conversation. And so God goes before us in the work of the gospel. And then I pray every day that the Lord is doing this on radio. As we get the gospel out daily in this area and various areas across Canada, that the Lord is preparing hearts and that they will be tuned in, not just to listen to the voice, but that they will be tuned in to the message. God will give them a heart to hear and a heart to receive the great truths of the gospel. And I have been very blessed in recent weeks to have had responses from radio listeners that are inquiring. And they have burdens not just for general prayer, but that they might be brought to assurance of faith in salvation. Now, it could happen to you as well that people say, hey, I see that you go to church. I hear that you go to that church right down there on 188th Street in Cloverdale. And they might ask, can I come? Wouldn't that be a great opening? And as you unashamedly take your stand for the Lord, he can open up the way for you to be a witness and to be effective. Or it can happen at school or at work. Someone just out of the blue asks you, are you a Christian? They perhaps have observed the things you do, don't do, you say or don't say, and they recognize your testimony. And again, that opens up a wonderful opportunity. What a great thing to have a testimony that goes before you, and when you do speak for the Lord can use that. Mr. Spurgeon has a wonderful story of a barrister in America, a lawyer, and he took it into his head to attend a Wesleyan class meeting. And he sat down apart from the rest, merely to take notes of what was said, as he might have done in a court of law. He knew the persons who spoke one after the other and bore testimony to the effect of the gospel upon them. They were his neighbors, and he thought to himself, if I were arguing a case and could put these people into the witness box and they were on my side, I should feel quite sure of carrying my case, for they are all known for honesty and truthfulness. Several persons without any collusion rose one after another, and though their stories greatly varied, yet they all came to one point, that they had believed the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Ghost had been made totally new. As the lawyer went out, he said to himself, their case is proved. I cannot question the truthfulness of any of these witnesses. There must be much more in this religion than I ever thought. And through that experience, that lawyer was converted and became a Christian. And so, through the weak, sometimes small attempts of God's people to be faithful witnesses, the Lord can use his word. And just as we read here of this Roman deputy, Sergius Paulus, asking now, and he's saying to them that he desired to hear the word of God. That's always a happy day for a preacher, an evangelist, and every Christian. When someone says to you, let me read or hear of those things, that is the Lord going before us, and it gives us great hope that our labor is never in vain and our testimony, God can use it. Then also we can take hope that Satan's powers and attempts to hinder the gospel shall be broken by the Lord. And we move on here now to verse 8, and we read about this sorcerer, Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation. Up in verse 6, you will see that he was a false prophet, a sorcerer, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus. What a phony he was. What an attempt to deceive this was. But here you'll find in verse 8 that when he broke in, seeking to turn away Sergius Paulus from hearing the doctrines of the gospel, Paul set his eyes upon him, and he was very quickly defeated. Now, the devil always stirs up the waters when you go fishing. And when you seek to be a witness to the souls of men, you will find that there will always be an obstruction, an enemy. The devil will by some means seek to hinder. And so we see here that there was a battle going on for the soul of Sergius Paulus. He was wanting to hear the gospel. Elymas was interfering, seeking to lure him away and distract him. Paul was having none of it, and this raised a mighty battle. Oh, how often that is the case. We've got to realize that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood only, but with principalities and powers of the air, that we are in a spiritual battle, and that we have to expect that we're going to be opposed, that we're going to be hindered, and that we will need power and strength and help from the Lord. Now, in verse 9, you will see Paul's bold address, and he dresses this guy down to size. Paul, who is called Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And then in verse 11, he cast a blindness upon this sorcerer. Oh, that was judicial, you can surely say. Here is a man who is serving darkness, And now he receives physical blindness, and he is in the darkness physically, and he has to be led by the hand.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Well, I think that you have caught something of my burden for this nation, my burden for men and women to know the Lord through His Word. There is no other way that we're going to see revival, that we're going to see God working in this land, unless we come back to the Bible. We need that Word in men's hands, and we need that Word in men's hearts. Now, there's only so much that man can do, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to regenerate, to give light, and to turn men's hearts unto God. And we need to pray earnestly for this nation. We need to pray for souls. We need to pray that the Word of God will prevail, and that God will bless the preaching of His Word from coast to coast across this nation of Canada. We live in a land of great privilege, a land, however, where the Bible is set aside. Will you pray with me and ask God to turn again this nation to His Word, that in our schools young people will grow up with the knowledge of the Bible, that churches will have godly Sunday schools where the name of the Lord Jesus and the great truths of the gospel are proclaimed, that men and women, young people, will know the Lord. So let's unite in prayer a moment. Father in heaven, we come pleading mercy and help upon the souls of men in these times. We need Thee to work, O God, to awaken hearts to their need of the Lord Jesus. But we fear that many are in darkness, that they have no interest in the Bible, they are deeply ignorant of the Word of God, and they need that light, they need that knowledge, that they may turn and be turned again to the Lord Jesus. This we ask in Thy great name. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Reverend Larry Saunders is the minister, in Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister, in Barrie, where Reverend Anthony DiDerno is the minister, and in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you, so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040. Or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care.